I can't tell you how good it is for me to see you here at church this morning. I know it's a lot of places you could be, and I don't take that lightly today. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. If you enjoy the singing this morning, say amen. If you're glad you're here, say amen.
Amen.
If you want to go, just say amen and go. Amen. Doors ain't locked. You can smile. It's all right to be at church. I've had this passage on my heart a few hours now. I went to bed with this on my heart and got up and tried to get away in my study this morning and my quiet time with the Lord, and He's instructed me to share some things, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to give an invitation. I want to tell you this morning, maybe the first time you're here at our church, these altars are always open. If you come to the altar here and pray, nobody's going to wonder what you're doing there. It's none of their business. You just do what God's wanting you to do. And sinner friend, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you, the Lord's still in the saving business this morning. And you know, it doesn't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus can wash you clean today. The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter number 4, Brother Tim, if you'd come help me, I'd be grateful. If you'd read my passage, help me out a little this morning. 2 Kings 4, I want you to read verses 8, if you would, through number 18 or through 20, 8 through 20, if you'd read for me.
And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers.
Mama.
And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother.
Mm.
And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died.
Thank you, Brother Tim. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. I've correctly read today, that's 2 Kings 4, 8 through verses number 20. And I want to preach, the Lord had helped me today, out of verse number 8, where the Bible says, It fell on a day Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And I want to pull that text and I want to preach out of that verse on a great woman. A great woman. I want to say, first of all, as way of introduction this morning, notice the dispensation of this great woman. The Bible said there was a day. Said it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Now, I want to say the dispensation of this great woman. You'll notice it was a day of oppression. Now, some strange things was going on in leadership of their country. My goodness, Ahab and Jezebel had been running things, and things wasn't too good in the White House. Can I tell you this morning, in America, we have a very oppressing day. Our president got on national news last week and he said, America is no longer a Christian nation. All I say to that is, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm glad that America stands under one God still today. Not only one flag, but one God. Brother Wayne, I'm glad there's been some men that's walked through this country. Some of you have forefathers that they have given their lives, they've given their families, they've given their homes, that you may sit in a church like this morning. Raise your hands to the holy God of this Bible, that you may worship Him in spirit and in truth. I say, if there's ever been a time that America needs God, it is this morning. Now, this great woman, we see the dispensation of this great woman. It fell on a day of great oppression. It fell on a day of great opposition. I've never seen such an opposing time that is going against Christians. I noticed on Fox Network this morning that there a young lady had been converted to Christianity from the Muslim faith. Now the governor of Florida stepped in about her safety. She's afraid to go back to the place where she was raised. What's going on, preacher? We're living in a day of great opposition. Not many people's going to pat you on the back for being a Christian. I'd like to tell you today that, you know, you would have a good card in the mailbox tomorrow for being in a Bible preaching church today. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to find, if you're going to do what God wants you to do and who God wants you to be, you're going to find it big days of great opposition. There's many things that's against the ladies of our home. There's a lot of things that's against the men of our home. There's a lot of things that's against the children of our home. And you'll see that it wasn't a day of great opposition. Now, notice, though, it also was a day of great opportunity. Somebody pray for the preacher this morning. Now, I need God to touch my voice. But it was a day of great opposition. It was a day of great opportunity. Has there ever been a brighter day than today to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ? When it seems like everybody else is tucked tail and run, when it seems like that everything's falling to shambles, when it seems like that your life is at its lowest, I tell you this morning, there's never been a greater opportunity to stand and proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, Jesus saved. The Bible said He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not some way. He's not a way. Honey, He's the way. All roads don't lead to heaven this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door. And if you're going to heaven, you'll go because you've trusted Him by faith. His grace has reached you. And you've been born again by the sweet grace of God. What a great day of wonderful opportunity. It's a great day of opportunity for our church. When so many churches have left the Word of God and the worship of God and the power of God, what great opportunity we have in the day and hour that we live. We see the dispensation of this woman. My goodness, times were bleak. Times didn't look good, but I'm going to tell you, honey, God used this woman. Can I tell you today, ladies, God's still in the lady using business. Can I tell the men, God's still in the men using business, and I'm glad that things is looking brighter. Honey, the church ain't going down, the church is going up. I'm glad I serve a risen Savior today. the dispensation of this woman, but I want you to notice number two, the disposition of this woman. I love her attitude. It's nothing like living with a woman with a good attitude, and it's nothing no worse than living with one with a bad attitude. Somebody say amen right now. It's nothing better than going to church with a woman with a good attitude or going to church with one with a bad attitude. Somebody smile right there this morning. The disposition of this woman. Now, notice her disposition. She was a woman of the home. In verse number 8, watch this. Fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread so as oft as he passed by. I want to say, she was a woman of the home. Oh, how we need some women that will be women of the home. Ladies, it's not the educator's responsibility to raise your children. I know a lot of preacher friends, they run great bus ministries, and that's wonderful, and they're great. But you know what it is? Their mom and daddy sends them to church as a daycare center to give them some time at home. Mom and daddy's God has given us the responsibility to raise our children. How I wished America could get back to have some women at the home. Home life for you ladies is not so bad. God intended you to be there, the nurse and the keeper and the great stability there in that home, to be there for them children, to be there when that daddy comes home. She was a woman of the home. Thank God I had a mama that raised me that was a woman of the home. She loved the home life. Now, I'm not preaching against public jobs this morning. I would be a hypocrite if I said that I would get up and tell you to do something I hadn't done myself. My wife has been at public work nearly 30 years. But honey, she's still a woman of the home. She knew where her children was. She knew what her husband needed. She needed what that home needed. And can I tell you this morning, we need some ladies that will still be a woman at the house for the glory of God. Your place ain't in the mall at 12 o'clock on Saturday night. You got babies to see about. You need to be seeing about them young'uns. And right now it may be hard, but honey, there's a better day coming. Somebody say amen right there. Boy, she is a woman of the home. Verse 9, she was a woman of holiness. The Bible says she perceived that this is a holy man of God. Now, I don't know why her husband wasn't seeing all this, but I noticed this, that ladies have a tendency to be more filled with the Holy Ghost than men are. Shake your head right there. Hey, ladies, punch him right now. Say, you could get filled with the Holy Ghost if you wanted to. Go on and punch. It's okay to slap folk in this church. Turn around and slap them upside the head. Amen. Go on, tell them. Not really, Brother Felton. Don't do that, Brother Felton. But let me tell you this morning, friend, she was a lady of holiness. She perceived that that was a holy man of God. Thank God for some women that know something about holy living. Boy, isn't it amazing? She knew what a preacher was. First of all, you'll notice she was a woman of the home. She was a woman of holiness. She perceived something in the spirit world. Ladies, I want to try to challenge your hearts today to be everything that God wants you to be. Woman of holiness. Verse 10, she was a woman of hospitality. I like this. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stoop. Now, I want to say, first of all, she checked in with her husband. Amen. Shake your head right there. Let us. She just didn't do nothing with, I don't know where he is. He's sort of in the backdrop of this passage. But I do realize this, God's way of doing things. The husband is the head, and the lady is the helpmeet. The lady's not to be a doormat. Somebody say amen right there. Go on, gouge him real good right there. You're supposed to be right by his side and all the decisions making them together, amen. And that husband leading in that home. Now we see this. She was a woman of the home environment. She was a woman of holiness. She was a woman of hospitality. She said, let us make a little chamber. See, she was making room for somebody else. Thank God for some ladies. Thank God for some mamas that can make room for somebody else. You know, you may have to be a mama to somebody else's babies because they ain't a mama to them. We got a generation coming up knows nothing about the home life, about a mama or a daddy. Ladies, can I encourage you to be what God wants you to be, a lady of hospitality, and make room for others. She wanted to make room. And so I'm glad what she done. She made him a table. She got him a candlestick and a chair and a bed. And boy, thank God for people that's hospitable. Any visitor that comes in Liberty Baptist Church and your hand ain't been shook, how won't you come see me after this service? Because I got a good sermon to preach tonight. We ought to be a hospitable people, honey. This church ain't built for one family. This church ain't built for the crowd that's got everything. This church is built for those that love the Lord Jesus and wants a blessing in this last day. It ain't one family runs this outfit, honey. There's hospitality down at the house of God. Somebody say amen. Lord, I go into so many snooty churches and I'm the preacher. Ain't nobody told me yet. Ain't nobody welcomed me here yet. Ain't nobody said nothing yet. Lord goodness, why in the world would I want what they got? Look like they've lost their best friend. I mean, you walk in the average Baptist church, friend, they looking at you like this. And then they doing this. Now it's 5 minutes till 12. I ain't even on point three yet. I mean, I'm hung up, amen. What are you saying, preacher? Oh, we need hospitality. Thank God for some people that reach their hand out and reach their heart out and do something for the grace of God. Thank the Lord for the ladies here in food ministry. Thank the Lord for that. Food groups. See, ladies, we got food groups here. You want to be a blessing? See Miss Jennifer back there. She can get you on the sign-up list and you can be a blessing. Thank God she was hospitable for the grace of God. You say, preacher, you don't understand. I got all these things to do. How'd your mama do it? How'd mama, these old-timers used to bust wood. They used to kill a chicken. They used to cook it on Sunday lunch, get their baby. Hey, they still iron back in them days. Lord, I feel a little preach coming on this morning. I said, they still iron clothes back in them days. They still bathed young'uns back in them days. They'd heat water up and pour it in an old foot tub. Lord, they was women of hospitality. Thank God for women that want to serve. I hear that. Well, don't nobody like me. I don't feel like I'm a part. Well, what are you doing to fill a part? Amen. There's plenty of work to do. Just get busy and do it. And be a woman of great hospitality. She is a woman of the home. She is a woman of holiness. She is a woman of hospitality. And then, I believe with all my heart, she was a woman of happiness in verse 13. So she helped out the man of God. So this is what he said. He said, now, Gehazi, let's ask that little woman what we could do to be a blessing to her. So they come to her down there in verse number 13 and asked her, said, now listen, said, what can we do to be a blessing since you've been a blessing? And so she said, I don't need nothing. I dwell among mine own people.
I want to say, you'll notice in verse number 13, she said, my family's enough. I know to get quiet right there. She said, my friends are enough. And my faith is enough. Honey, let me tell you, Mom and Daddy, we can be happy with the blessings that God has blessed us with. The devil will never show you what you got. He'll just show you what you ain't got. And you ought to shout the victory this morning. One day He saved you by His grace, and soon He's coming back by to take us home to heaven. And it ought to be enough to bring us happiness this morning. She was content with where she was. There's nothing wrong with having a vision. Listen to me, young families. There's nothing wrong with trying to have things and get ahead. It's just wrong when things have you. Let me tell you the order of this Bible. You do not plan church around your activities. You plan your church first. Then you plan your activities around church. Hey, does ball practice take you out of church? You ain't right with God. You can shake that head this morning. I can shake it for you. Anything that takes you out of the house of God, do you think God's in that move? Do you think God's in that blessing to take you away, friend? Blessings were intended to draw you to God, not to push you from God. Somebody better wake up this morning and realize there's happiness at home when the Lord's at the center of the home. My wife, we got a grandbaby. Ain't we crazy? Yesterday I come in, she'd got her one of them little bubble jars. And she'd had them bubbles and she was a-blowing them. And little Olivia was so excited, she had never seen bubbles. She was running and she was chasing them. And I noticed she couldn't catch them, but all of a sudden, brother, she caught it and it busted in her little hand. And the Holy Ghost said, that's just like them Baptists you preach to. They're chasing bubbles, and when they get it, it goes away. Honey, can I tell you, Jesus will never let you down this morning. You're chasing things out yonder. And they just gonna go away like them bubbles. Vanity of vanity, said the preacher. You better know that you're saved. You better get in the will of God. You better realize your place where God's put you and be happy in the Lord. It's okay to be happy in the Lord. It's still okay to shout in church. It's still okay to come around the altar and pray. Thank God for these little ones come around and pray. Oh my goodness, she was a woman of happiness. There's, let me tell you something, you'll never be happy till you get in the place where God wants you. I've had one of the best jobs in America. It didn't bring happiness. I got some of the best shotguns known to man. I got the best four-wheeler money can buy. I ride in the best truck that a man could have. That don't bring happiness. It's a blessing. But I've noticed the only thing that makes me happy is joy in the Lord. When I'm where God wants me to be. Why don't some of you wake up and realize the reason you're not happy, it's not because of happenings. It's because you're not where God wants you to get spiritually and physically and mentally. It's nothing like serving the Lord. Young people, don't let nobody tell you that being a Christian isn't fun. I'm having the time of my life. I got tired of waking up not knowing how I got there. I got tired of a crowd that was using me for what they could get out of me. Thank God I'm glad I'm happy in the Lord. I'd run around the building, but you'd call me holiness. You'd call me crazy. I'm glad I'm happy in the Lord today. Call what you will, call what you may. I done found out, you that gonna talk about me, you gonna talk anyway. And you that gonna love me anyway. And for me and my house, we just gonna serve the Lord. We gonna shout every chance we get. We gonna preach this Bible to you and tell you that Jesus saves and sin is wickedness. And there's joy in the morning, joy unspeakable and full of glory, glory. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved today. Thank God I'm saved. Happiness in the Lord. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm not doing without nothing being a Christian. I've got things that this world knows nothing about. Now notice, when this woman was serving God, not only do we see the dispensation of this woman, not only do we see the disposition of this woman. Can I tell you this morning, attitude's everything. Attitude's smile. Turn around and smile at him. I want you to turn around and smile at him this morning. It's everything for you to smile to. I wish you'd have done that this morning when you got up. Dispensation, disposition. But notice the disappointment. Verse number 18. Now Elisha told her, said, listen, you're going to have a child. She said, no, don't tell me no tale now. Don't get my hopes up. She said, no, no. I said, it's so, you're going to have a child. Well, the Bible said, now notice what God says, it always comes to pass. Because this is what He said. He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son, in verse 16. 17, the woman conceived and bare a son. I wonder when he became a living soul, when he was born or when he was conceived. I'd say the Bible said he's a living soul when he conceived. America's killing 5,000 babies a day. We're hollering, save the dogs and the whales and the trees. But we forgot about the sanctity of life. We forgot about what God said about things in America. Her disappointment. What's this? She conceived. Verse 18, when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. Said to his father, my head and head. He said to the lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. And he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Her disappointment. I want to ask you, have you ever been disappointed in life? We that are older in the Lord, there are changes of life. I can tell you, I've noticed as much as I don't like change, change comes. There's no doubt this morning there's a lady here. I don't know where you are. But the Holy Ghost told me that there's a woman here today. You've experienced a great change in your life. And it matters how you're going to operate with this change. Now I want you to notice in her disappointment, she experienced a change of life. Notice this. The Bible said that boy sat on her knees till noon and then died. Ain't it amazing how it can get cloudy in a hurry? I mean, isn't that just like life? I mean, everything can be wonderful on Saturday and all of a sudden you get a phone call or an email and your world turns to pieces. When the sun was shining its highest at noonday, by one thing that happened to this particular lady, at the darkest time of her life appeared. Somebody may be here today in a dark time. The disappointments of life. There was a change that took place. And then not only was there a change, but there was a challenge took place. Let me ask you something. No doubt she said, what I do now, my precious thing is just die. I preach this message. Some on the thought on when your blessing turns to your burden. Now this young'un was so blessed, sitting on her knees, all of a sudden it died. I wonder if what you thought a lot of, all of a sudden now it's died. And there's a big change done happen in your life. There's a big challenge that's done happen in you. Can I tell you, people's looking at you. Miss Sherry's mama told me something at a funeral out by the graveside of her daddy last week. You know what she said, Brother Gerald? She said, I've got to be strong for these young'uns. And I got to thinking, there's a mama that served the Lord all these years with that daddy. And she said, I'm challenged with a change, but I've got to stay strong for these young'uns. Aren't you glad you've seen some people, when change come, they just didn't throw the towel in and throw their hands down and say, God is unfair? Can I tell you, God's unfair anyway? If God is fair, you'd be in hell this morning. We don't need justice, we need mercy. You say, preacher, I don't like that kind of strong preacher. You're not going to grow without it. You're not going to grow around these bake clubs and bake sales, honey. You need preaching of the Word of God. That's what I need, preach it. God's put me to pastor some hard-headed people. It takes preaching. Change come, challenge come. Let me tell you something. Sun's not always going to shine bright every day. You look out here this morning, as cool as it was early, these clouds come on through there. Some of you, it's done cloud up and rained on some of us. I said some of us. Can't shine the brightest all the time. So we see her disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed, really, with what life has given you? I have. I've been disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed with something coming in your life? Can you imagine all of a sudden that she's so happy with? And all of a sudden it died. I read after an old man this morning. He said, I tell you how come sometimes God takes young'uns home early. Because sometimes there's such an idol in our life. And then sometimes He takes young'uns on home to keep them from what's coming down the road for them. And then He said, sometimes He takes young'uns on home to make us realize that He's the giver and the Lord giveth and the Lord take. Can I tell you this morning? Can I tell you what, God? We are to love the giver more than the gift. Some of you, He's given you children and you adore them. They're your idols. I mean, they're everything. Didn't God say not to have no idols before Him? Honey, let me tell you, this ain't a Mickey Mouse God. This is a God that sent His Son to die for us to keep us out of hell. And He wants to be number one in our life. The ball game didn't die for you nor your children. He takes them home early. Many times. You remember Job? It's okay, Brother Scott, when they got his camels and his goats and his hogs. It's all right when they got his silver and his gold. But when God got them young'uns, He got His attention and He fell on the ground and He worshiped. And I've noticed this. When a cross comes in our life, it does one of two things. It brings us to Christ or it pushes us away from Christ. What about the two thieves on the cross, honey? That one thief would have never got saved if that cross wasn't put on him. He said, Lord, be merciful to me. God, save me. And the other one ridiculed. That cross brought one and that cross pushed one. What's your cross going to do to you? Is it going to bring you closer to the Lord or is it going to push you away from the Lord? I can tell you He never intended it to push you away. Her disappointment. I'm going to tell you, I found a lot of disappointments in life. And I've noticed this. If I'm looking, Brother Jason, at anything in this world, I'm disappointed. But the God of that Bible cannot be disappointed. Lift your eyes. I close. Well, preacher, what about this great... Well, what did she do? Can I close with her direction? She give us direction. She said something that they sung about earlier that amazed... How can a one that's just lost the most precious thing in their life say this? Look what she said in verse number
21, the Bible says she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door on him and went out, and she called to her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men." Verse 23, he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Well, well, well. Now, preacher, let me get this right. She's saying it shall be well. Yeah, boy, she's got faith, hasn't she? First of all, she looked up. She went up. She loaded him up. And she locked him up. She laid him on the bed of the man of God that she made. Now, I want you to notice that in the Bible. That little room where Elisha hung out, she went up there and she laid him down on the bed of the man of God. And she closed the door and walked out. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we could shut our burden up with the Lord today and just leave it and turn around and say, "It shall be well." Can I tell you, there's a song going across America. If God says, something like this, if God says no, He has a bigger yes. And I found that in my life. How many times has God sort of discouraged you a little bit when it didn't turn out the way you thought? And when you prayed and said, "God, would you?" And He said, "No." Let me tell you, He got something better waiting on you. It shall be well. We see her determination, what she done. And then in verse number 23, we see her declaration. It shall be well. But lastly, her demonstration. Now what happened? Well, folks, you just can't serve the Lord long faithfully without God doing something. I done found out you cannot serve this God of this Bible without being blessed. She had a blessing coming her way, even though she's in one of the greatest burdens of her life, one of the greatest storms of her life. God had something set in place for her that only this storm could bring. Watch what happened. She run to the man of God, and he seen her afar off. And the Bible said she went to the hill, and he told Gehazi, he said, "Gehazi, here comes this little old Shunammite woman." Said, "Wonder what's wrong with her." He said, "Is it well with you and with your husband? Is it well with the child?" She answered, "Oh yeah, it's well." Well, he sent Gehazi, she told him. He sent Gehazi with a staff. The Bible said in verse 29 that he come in and laid the staff upon the face of the child. Come back to her house and he laid the staff on him. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave you." And he arose and followed her. Elisha's following her now. Gehazi passed on before him, laid the staff on the face of the child. There was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awake." And when Elisha was come in the house, behold, the child was dead, and he laid upon his bed. And he went therefore, and he shut the door upon him twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up, and he lay upon the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Brother Scott, I want y'all to come and sing that "Is It Well" for our invitation, if you'd come. The Bible said, "Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon the child. The child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, 'Call this Shunammite.' So he called her. When she was come into him, he said, 'Take up thy son.' And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out." Now, there's a few things happened here, and I'm done. Listen to me. Just give me 3 minutes. I'm done. Gehazi went in. He laid a stick on his face. Nothing happened. Can I tell you, it's not an empty cross that made a way for me and you. It was the man on the cross
that made a way for me and you. The Bible said that Elisha went in and he stretched himself. What did our Savior do? He stretched himself. Now, ain't it amazing? When he stretched forth, he brought forth life. Can I tell you, an empty cross cannot bring life. But the man on the cross with his stretched out arms can give you life. Now, I pinned this down and I've never seen it. And I want you to write it down. And I believe with all my heart, she brought down the blessings of God on her own household. Brother Gerald, where is the daddy during all this? This one lady brought down the blessings of God on her whole household. She received her burden back to life and breathing again. Could you imagine her in a church service? Could you imagine when they sung about the cross, what it done for this lady? Can I tell you, all of us, an empty cross would leave us lifeless because the man on the cross stretched out his arms, put his breath on ours, breathing us the breath of life. We became a living soul by the power of Calvary. This lady experienced some things. She could have thrown the towel in. But you know what she said? She said, no, it ain't over. Listen to me, lady. It's not over. I don't care what's happened. It's not over. God is still on His throne. My heart goes out to single ladies raising children. Maybe your husband's been taken. Maybe he's left. Maybe he's just spiritually dead. Won't even do anything. Won't come to church with you. There's no hope for him. She brought the blessings of God down on her home. I wish you'd do that this morning. I wish you'd realize that this great blessing you've had has become one of your biggest burdens. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to work through this burden for you. And He's going to bless you in ways you never imagined. Could I say something, Megan, and it not embarrass you? We had a storm hit our family. One of the greatest burdens ever hit our church. You look at that little old blessing right over here in that little blue bow on top of her little head. You see, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing. When your blessing turns to your burden, I'll tell you what this woman did. She picked it up and carried him to the Lord, and she shut the door on it. She said, Lord, I know it shall be. You listen to me, young'un. It's going to be all right. God told me to tell you this morning, it's going to be all right. Just serve Him. And